we're getting ready to get into this series, Win the Day. And so last week and this week, we're kind of prepping you for this series. And we talked about last week the fact that you can't let your yesterdays determine your today. And a lot of times we do that, right? We allow the things that happened in the past to determine how we react, how we act, how we behave today. And so we let yesterday's stuff bleed into today, and it often critically cripples us to being able to live today how we're supposed to live. And then today, we're going to talk about don't think about tomorrow. And I know that's like literally that is the biggest oxymoron, right? Because if I were to say, don't think about a turquoise elephant, what are you thinking about right now, right? So you think about that. So I'm saying don't think about tomorrow. And we're going to talk about how to do that. But this whole series is based on a book written by Mark Batterson. It's a fantastic book. It talks about the seven different habits of how to win every day. And that's really the bottom line of what God has called us to do. But for those of us that know Jesus Christ, it's not about tomorrow, it's not about the future, it's not about yesterday, it's simply about today. God has simply called us to win today. He's not worried about tomorrow, he's not thinking about yesterday, he's saying, okay, this is what I've called you to do, this is who I've destined you to be, just live today and win today and be able to do that. And so we've been talking about that, we're getting ready to set up, and as a part of this series, we're doing a couple things. For each one of these habits, we're going to be giving you just a little something to take home. And I'm super excited, honestly, because we spent some time, and I shared this with the staff, and so we came up with some different ideas. And so every single Sunday, when we finish one of these habits, you're going to get something to take home with you. Next week is going to be the first habit calling Flip the Script. And that is, if you want to change your life, you've got to begin by changing your story. The story that you tell yourself, the story that you've been told about who you are, the story about who you're supposed to be, you've got to change that if you're going to change your life. And so as every one of you leaves, you're going to get a little teeny, it's the coolest little thing. I can't believe I found these. They're little teeny, I know you're like, this is so weird that you're excited about this, but I am. This is little teeny tiny books, right? They're super small, and the pages are blank, which I love because you're going to be able to tell and write your story. And so you take that with you. You can write anything in there you want. If you want to give it to your kids, if your girl's got a dollhouse and she wants to put the books in there, go for it. But we're just going to give you something small like that every single week that you can take with you that'll remind you of what that habit is and how God can use that in your life to win the day. And then a second thing that, man, I tell you what, if you've not signed up yet, I highly encourage you. We've got 8 small groups that are going to be all over the south side of Indianapolis in a bunch of different places, a bunch of different days, a bunch of different age groups of people. There's really no excuse whatsoever if you're a man or a woman and you're alive. There is a group that you can sign up for and be a part of. And the reason that we're really highly encouraging you to do this is because there is something special and unique when you get together with other people that are learning the same things. Now, it's great. I love Sunday mornings. I love it because I get to talk and no one can interrupt me. But, no, that's not why. Short little redhead in the front row, I tell you. That's my wife, for those of you that don't know. I'm not going to call anybody else out. So, but you know, I love doing that. But there's something different, right? When y'all have heard the same thing, and then you gather together with a handful, a dozen other people, and you can talk about it. And you say, man, I heard this, and I heard this, and this was so encouraging, or this challenged me, or I don't know what Dave was thinking. He's out of his mind. Whatever it is, right, that you can actually get together. And it helps it dig down and bury into your soul. Because my desire throughout this series is that when we're done with this, man, you are just so excited and so ready to win each and every day and step into the new life that God has called you for. That's my goal. And so that's why we're doing all these different things to just help reinforce what God is teaching in this. And then in March, we're going to jump into our brand new vision series. If you've been a part of Friendship for a while, you know that this is our 18th year, Tracy and my 18th year here. I guess we just started our 19th year here at Friendship. And so with everything that's happened over the last several years, we're going, man, how has God changed what it is that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it? So we're going to be sharing that in March of this year as how we're going to kind of make some changes and do some different things all within the vision that God has called us to do. But today, we're going to be talking about a subject that I think a lot of you really get stressed out about, and that is when it comes to the idea of what's going on tomorrow, what's going to happen. And any of you worriers, any of you that are worriers out there, Okay, right now? So seriously, those of you that are worried are like, what the heck is he doing with the Coke can? Because I think I need to move. So the idea is, when you think about worry, there's a lot of different things that come in, right? You worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You worry about what's going to happen the next day. You worry about, you know, when you get up, if you got up in time, and if there's going to be, you know, like where we live, there's going to be big tractors are going to be in the road, and you can't get to where you're supposed to be on time, or if your car's going to start, or if your boss is going to like you today. You worry about your kids. My goodness, if you have kids and you're not a worrier, then you may not love your kids. But I mean, you look at your kids, and, you know, maybe you're worried about your kids because they kind of smart off to you, and you're like, man, do they do that to other people because that's so embarrassing? Or maybe, you know, they don't. They're just, like, out of control all the time. Or maybe you've got a kid that's constantly licking walls and sticking their finger in light sockets, and you're worried for a different reason. You know, all these different things that we get worried about. And you know what worry is? Worry is something that happens inside of us, and it slowly builds up like a shaken, warm can of Coke. And the minute that you allow worry to break free, it creates a pretty big mess, doesn't it? You ever allowed something that you really didn't have to worry about at all come into your life? And it caused all sorts of issues and all sorts of problems, maybe with relationships, maybe with the people that you spend time with, maybe with your job, maybe with your house, maybe with your spouse, maybe with your kids. All these different things that just kind of get inside of you, and then you just kind of let it out, and it creates this big, massive mess everywhere. And here is the crazy thing. All the things that you've worried about in life, do you realize that according to multiple studies, less than 3% of all the things that you worry about ever become reality? Now, you world-class worriers, what you heard was, well, 3% of what I worry about, that becomes reality, right? But here's the thing. Every day, there are things that you can be worried about, things that cause you stress, things that cause you anxiety, right? Can we agree with that? We all agree that every day has its own stressors, right? Has its own things that we need to be worried about. But here is where it gets really bad. And this is where my wonderful warm can of Coke, which if I were to pierce it at this point in time, I could probably hit the back row. This represents tomorrow's worries. And as long as tomorrow's worries stay in tomorrow, we're good. Like, as long as I don't open this can, right, nothing's going to happen. But the minute that the minute I do that, right, what happens? And see, that is what we're talking about today. We're talking about the fact that tomorrow's worries need to stay in tomorrow. We need to allow tomorrow's worries to behave where they're supposed to be, because the reality is we're going to struggle with today's worries all on their own. The things of today, we're going to stress about those things, we're going to have anxiety about those things, but there's nothing that we can control about tomorrow. So what I want to do is I want to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 32, and we'll just make some comments as we go through, because Jesus Christ is talking, and he has spent the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 6 doing all sorts of comparisons and contrasts, and he's talking about, this is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And really, it's more like a compilation of multiple sermons that Jesus taught and kind of put together in the perspective of Matthew, who watched these things happen. And he kind of puts them all together and goes, man, I want you to know kind of how Jesus taught and what he taught about. And so we have this kind of compilation of all these different things. And as a part of it, he talks about worry. Matthew chapter 6, he says, that is why I tell you to not worry about everyday life, right? Isn't that easy for all of us? Isn't it great? It's kind of like where I said, right, don't think about a turquoise elephant. The minute that somebody says, well, don't worry about it, what do you do? Well, why are you saying I shouldn't worry about it? What is there to worry about that you're not telling me? What information are you withholding from me that I need to be thinking about and worrying about? Because the reality is if you're telling me not to worry, then there is something to worry about. And so Jesus says, listen, don't worry about everyday life. Then he goes into things that, quite frankly, are pretty significant. whether you have enough food and drink. That, to me, seems like something that we all should be concerned about. Would you agree with me that that's like, hey, look, I like food. Clearly, I like food. And you know what? I enjoy actually not getting stuff stuck in my throat. So I like things to be able to actually drink, to wash that down. I like those things. He says, listen, don't worry about those things. Don't worry about whether or not you have enough food or whether or not you have enough drink or if you have enough clothes to wear. I'm not a nudist, if you haven't figured that out. I like to make sure that I have clothing that I can wear. And especially when it gets cold outside, I like to make sure that I have layers that I can wear because I don't want to be cold. That is not something I enjoy. I want to have enough food, water, and clothes so that I can actually survive. And isn't it interesting that when Jesus begins talking about worry, he goes to the staples, the basics of life. He doesn't say, now don't worry if your 401k isn't doing great right now. Quite frankly, if your 401k is doing great now, I'd like to talk to you about that because I'd like to know what you're doing. Unless it's illegal, then just don't tell me. But the idea behind it, he says, listen, I'm going to go to the very base needs. And I want to tell you that even the most basic of things, the things that are necessary for life and survival, you don't even need to worry about those things. You don't need to stress about those things. And he goes on to tell us why. He goes, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? In other words, he says, listen, when we get all stressed out about these things, you know what happens? We stop enjoying the day. We stop enjoying the moment. We get so stressed out about things that may never happen and probably won't happen that we take yet tomorrow's worries and we peel those suckers into today and we open that can of warm Coke that's been shaken for 4 hours and then we wonder why we come home so stressed and our spouse says, well, did anything bad happen today? Not really, but man, I'm so. And that's why. Because we start stealing tomorrow's worries, trying to deal with them today when there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it. He goes on, he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And then I love, he asks these two really cool questions. Aren't you more valuable to them than birds? Aren't you more valuable to God than the stupid bird that is so dumb that it runs into your window because you just cleaned it with glass cleaner, right? You ever had that? You have to clean it with glass cleaner, all of a sudden, thunk, and you're like, what in the world? And there's the bird going. I mean, aren't you more valuable than that to God? And look, God takes care of them. Then he goes, listen, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? This is so cool because here's what he's saying. He's like, listen, okay, I want you to take the most basic needs of life, and I want you to think about those things for a moment. And I want you to realize that you don't have to worry about those things. But if you choose to worry about tomorrow's worries today, then what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to enjoy the life that I have given you. And look, I take care of the birds. If I take care of the birds, I'm going to take care of you because you actually matter. And then he asks for all you worriers out there, what difference has your worry ever made? What difference? So all the time, all the energy, all the emotion, all the arguments, all the stress, all the anxiety, all the everything that worry has brought into your life, what has it accomplished? Has it made you taller? Has it made you skinnier? Has it made you smarter? Has it given you more longevity of life? No, in reality is the more you worry, the shorter your life becomes. So the reality is worry is absolutely pointless and without meaning. It doesn't accomplish anything. I know those of you that are worriers are like, I'm not a fan right now. But I'm telling you, this is true. And the thing is, you know that it is true. But we still worry, don't we? We still allow it to kind of get us. And then he goes on, he says, and why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, the wisest, richest, most powerful man that ever lived, in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully about wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care about you. So he doubles down on it. He goes, now look at the birds. God cares more about the birds than he does you, so you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Besides, worry doesn't do anything for you. He goes, now look at these flowers. These are stupid flowers. Somebody is going to pick them up, give them to their spouse, or give them to their significant other, and 2 days from now, they're going to be wilted and dropped all over the place, and they're going to be thrown into the trash. And those flowers are more beautiful than Solomon, with all of his money, could adorn himself or his house with, and yet they didn't do anything except show up. And God takes care of them. And then he says, he really gets to the heart of the matter. Is why do you have so little faith? Because, see, that's really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to worry. When we worry, it is not because we're being conscientious. And we are really, listen, we're just really thinking things through. We're trying to process. Now, what we're saying is everything depends upon what we do. It depends on how we act. It depends upon how we live. And we don't have enough faith in the moment to believe that God is actually going to take care of it. That's what worry is. And sometimes we kind of brush off worry as not a big deal or something, it's not a big deal. But really what worry is the erosion of our faith in believing that God will actually and can actually take care of us. Last little bit of this verse. So don't worry about these things. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And then he says, these things dominate the thoughts of who? These things dominate the thoughts of those who don't know me. These things dominate the thoughts of those who don't believe in me. These things dominate the thoughts of those who are not in relationship with me. That's why you should worry. If you don't know God, then yeah, you've got a lot to worry about because it is all up to you. But if you know God, it's not up to you to be able to figure all these things out. And he ends with this wonderful thing. He says, but your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. He already knows them. God is not surprised when we come to him and we go, listen, God, here's the deal. I'm working my tail off. I'm doing all these different things, but there's just not enough money. God's not going, wow. I don't know what to say. I guess work harder. Or man, we come to God, we go, God, I don't know if you know this or not, but my husband and I, or my wife and I, we're really, really not seeing eye to eye. He's not like, wow. That's your fault. You need to fix this. Take care of that. Deal with this. He's not surprised. He knows what you need already. And that's why one of the things we say is, listen, prayer is not for God. Prayer is not to inform God of what's going on. Prayer is for you so that you can humbly submit yourselves to God in prayer to take care of the needs that you have. So here's the big idea for today. Don't let tomorrow's worries dominate today's thoughts. Don't let tomorrow's worries dominate today's thoughts. Because that's really where worry finds its home, isn't it? In our thoughts. We wake up at 2:30 in the morning and we're panicked. Did I lock the front door? Did I do this? What's that noise? What's this? What's that? And we have this panic. Or we wake up and we're like in a hot sweat because we can't remember if we followed something through or how this is going to work out or what are they going to think or all these different things. And so these worries penetrate our thoughts. And then what's amazing is that when you're thinking about tomorrow, you can't focus on today. You can't, because your brain won't let you. Now, if you focus on today, though, it's this miraculous thing that happens. If you focus on winning the day today, you focus on today, you begin to work on those habits that we're going to be talking about beginning next week. You know what? Magically, big time air quotes, happens. Tomorrow takes care of itself. And here's a thought for you. You've probably seen it if you've been to any trinket store or signs that go up in people's kitchen. This is a great quote, though. You ready? Tomorrow never comes. Think about it for a second. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow is always a day away. But if you live for today, you don't have to worry about those things. You can focus on those things. Now, I don't mean this in a flippant way in any way, shape, or form, because I want to be really clear about this. Not worrying about tomorrow's worries does not mean that you take a laissez-faire attitude. Well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You ever met somebody like that? You're like, I want to slap you right now. Well, you know, hey, job's going to come along sometime. Well, now, why don't you get off your butt and go find a job, right? Well, you know, our marriage, it'll just fix itself. No, you might need to actually humble yourself and apologize to your spouse and actually take care of them and cherish them and treat them the way that they're supposed to. You may need to do that. Well, you know, money's just going to come and it's just going to work out. Well, no, maybe you need to stop spending it on $7 chai lattes. You know, there are just certain things that are like, hey, you know, wake up. It does not mean that we just go through life and hope everything works out. That is not worrying about tomorrow. Because as I love all the way Dave Ramsey puts it, he goes, Jesus said that the Father feeds the birds, not that he puts the worms in the nest. The bird still has to get up early, get out of the nest, go to the ground, scratch, dig, peck, all these different things. That's what our responsibility is supposed to do. So worry is not about just hoping everything figures itself out. Not worrying about tomorrow means that you work as hard as you can. You plan as best as you can, but you leave the results in God's hand. That's what not worrying about tomorrow looks like. You work as hard as you can. You plan as best as you can, but you leave the results in the hand of God. Now, how do you do that? How do you stop letting tomorrow's worries dominate today's thoughts? Well, Jesus actually tells us how to do that too. He doesn't just go, stop worrying, hope you figure it out. He says, this is how you do it. So we're going to go to the next two verses, Matthew 6, 33 through 34. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. So how do you stop allowing tomorrow's worries to dominate today's thoughts? It's really simple. Seek the kingdom. Doesn't that just explain it all? So you're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh at that or not. It seems rather vague, doesn't it? Sounds super spiritual, though. We should all get tattoos that just say, seek the kingdom. So what in the world does that mean? What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? What, for crying out loud, even is the kingdom of God? Okay, so let's dig into that for a moment. Now, as far as I can tell, all of us here live in the real world. Y'all live in the real world? Anybody here live in the real world? Okay, real world. Okay, pain hurts. You know, money is necessary. Okay, real world living, right? That's the real world. I love when people say that. Listen, I live in the real world. Like, okay. Apparently, I'm in fairyland, right? But real world living, it's a real thing. There's real stuff that happens. There's real consequences. And when we look at our world, the real world, what matters most? What matters most is the outcome, the results, the winner and the loser. That's what matters in the real world. And do you know, I think you would all agree with me that the vast majority, if not the totality of everything that we worry about, is based in the results, the outcome, the winner and the loser. Think about all the stuff that you worry about. You worry about your kids. You're worrying about the outcome of their life, about the results, who they're going to marry, who they're going to trust, what are they going to do if they're ever going to leave. That's what you're worried about. That's what you're stressed out about. You think about your marriage. You're worried about how it's going to turn out. You're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You're worried about whether or not they're going to freak out about something. What about your job? You're worried about whether or not you're going to be able to move forward in that. You're worried about whether or not it's going to be enough money. You're worried about whether or not you have to work more. You're worrying about all these different things because we are obsessed as a culture and as human beings about the outcomes, the results, the winners, and the losers. And that's what stresses us out. That's what we're trying to pull from tomorrow's worries into today. And it's dominating all of our thoughts because this world that we live in is constantly driven and consumed with outcomes, results, winners, and losers. And you go, well, that's real life. And we would all agree. We would all agree that that is real life. That is the way things really are. Very rarely are we worried about the journey itself or the process. We want to know where it's going. And that's what we stress out about. And that's why it's so profound, almost like it was planned, that all through Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ is comparing and contrasting the quote-unquote real world with the kingdom of God. And the most distinct, drastic difference is that within the kingdom of God, the outcome, the results, the winners and the losers are left in God's hands. In the kingdom of God, we are simply called to do, to be who God has called us to be, and leave the results up to Him. It's His job to produce the outcome. So when Jesus Christ says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, it's an invitation for you and I to change realities. It's an invitation for us to actually engage with and be a part of the reality of the kingdom of God. It's an exchange that He's offering. He's saying, instead of living every day stressed out and worried about results and outcomes and winners and losers and all these different things that consume our thoughts and dominate our thoughts every single day, even though it has nothing to do with today, it has to do with tomorrow, I'm offering to take that off of your plate. And as a follower of me, as a part of the kingdom of God, I will take that and I will be responsible for the results. And all I want you to do is be who I've called you to be. All I want you to do is live each and every day to put these principles into practice, to live the way that I've called you to live. And the invitation says that the God of the universe will take care of all of our needs. So how do we seek the kingdom of God? Well, let's put a scenario together. You're walking through life and something happens. You can pick it. It's a tragedy. It's a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's a decision, whatever. Here's how you practically live out seeking the kingdom of God. That happens, and you go, okay, I'm going to look to God first. Sometimes that begins with prayer, like, okay, God, here's what's happening. Here's what's going on. And I want to lay this out before you, and I'm going to ask you to guide me and direct me to make the right decision so that it lines up with your will for my life, because that's what I'm called to do, right, is to be the person that God's called me to be. And so you say, okay, what's the best decision that lines up with that? And I want to tell you, don't just stop with prayer, okay? Because prayer is you talking to God. But if you actually want to hear from God, then you need to actually take your Bible or your Bible app or YouVersion or whatever and open that, because the Bible is actually God speaking to you. And so here's the thing. Maybe you've come to a decision. You're like, hey, this is the decision that I have to make, and I need to do this or I need to do that. The first thing that you should do is, okay, does God's Word talk about that anywhere? Because believe it or not, God's Word has an awful lot to do, an awful lot of conversation about how we're supposed to live our life. So if you're like, well, here's the decision. I'm really thinking about, you know, cheating on my spouse. Because, man, they are good looking. And I tell you what, they're better looking than my spouse. And they're this and they're that and they're a different thing. Or I'm just going to, like, maybe I'm just going to flirt. I'm not going to. So you go, okay, what does God's Word say about that? God's Word says, no! Don't do that. Bad idea. Destruction of life. Atomic bomb type stuff. Don't do that. You go, oh, okay, well, that's pretty clear. if I'm going to seek the kingdom of God, I really need to follow the way that the kingdom has laid things out to do. And then the last thing you do is you're like, okay, now I need to look at the life of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus handle this situation? Because we're supposed to be like Christ. So somebody comes up, he's all mouthy with Jesus, and what does Jesus do? Cold cock him, right? Right there. It's probably not how Jesus responded. How did Jesus respond to that situation? That's how I should respond to that situation. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God. And that's a whole lot simpler, isn't it? Okay, listen, something comes. The first thing we're supposed to do in life is we're supposed to first talk to God. We're going, God, this is what's going on. Then we're supposed to look at the Word and go, okay, is there anything in the Word of God that tells me how I'm supposed to respond to this? And then we look at the life of Jesus Christ. Is there anything that's similar to that? And how did Jesus respond? And that is seeking the kingdom of God first in your life. That's what it means. And if we do that, God says this awesome promise at the end of it. He says, and then I will give you everything you need. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. You live this way. You seek the kingdom of God first. You don't need to allow tomorrow's worries to dominate today's thoughts. And here's what's great. Sometimes people see this and they think, oh, well, you know, that means that God's going to give me everything spiritually. That is not what he says. That's literally why he says food, drink, clothing, where you're going to live. Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom first and follow me that way, I will provide everything you need, spiritual, physical, relational, emotional, everything you need if you seek me first, if you put me first. If you do that, then you're living in the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is the process that we're supposed to live in. Now, the reason that tomorrow's worries dominate today's thoughts is that because just like everyone else, we live consumed with results and outcomes and winners and losers. So what I want to do is I want to just share with you three steps that will mute tomorrow's worries. And they're very simple. And they're actually shown here in this passage. The first one is this. If you're going to seek the kingdom, you have to know the king. If you're going to seek the kingdom, you've got to know the king. As we look at the Old Testament prophesies that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus testifies in the New Testament that he is the promised king sent to forever reign. But then he tells Pilate that his kingdom, it's not of this world. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that everyone and anyone can live in at any point in time, no matter where they are, even if they live in the real world. In Hebrews, we're told that Jesus is our high priest and our king, and that he willingly sacrificed himself for each and every one of us. And he paid the penalty of sin so that you and I could be set free, and we could not just be set free and have relationship with him, but be set free and have relationship with him and be a part of the kingdom of God. And in the very end, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, my favorite passage when it comes to who Jesus Christ is. The Bible reveals Jesus Christ, and it says that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he's got that sucker tattooed on his thigh. You're like, oh, Jesus has a tattoo? He does. And it says King of kings and Lord of lords. You're like, I don't think I like that. Well, you can talk to Jesus about that because I'm pretty sure it's not in Sharpie. That's who the king is. And the king offers you freedom, relationship, and sonship. So freedom from sin because he paid the price for your sins when he died on the cross and rose again from the grave. Citizenship in the kingdom of heaven so that you can live each and every day, not in the real world, but allow him to be responsible for the outcomes and the results and the winners and the losers. And then sonship, because when you accept him, you become a daughter or a son of God. So know the king. The second thing is to really live in the kingdom of God. You've got to not just know the king, but you've got to serve the king. God has called and equipped each and every one of you to do unique and awesome things. There is not one of you that is not a 10 in at least one area that God has equipped and called you to do. If you know Jesus Christ, then you have been given spiritual gifts to be able to do things. And that is not limited to just doing stuff in the church, right? The Old Testament tells us that God gave gifts to people to be able to create art and sculpture and music and all these different things. It's an unbelievable thing that God gifts us with and gives us the ability to do these things. And so the question is, are you serving the King? Not just do you know the King, but are you serving the King? Are you actually using the things that He's given you and equipped you to do, or are you just kind of letting those sit on the back shelf because at this point in time it's inconvenient? And here's what's interesting. The reason that it's inconvenient is because your thoughts today are dominated about the worries of tomorrow because you're not living and seeking the kingdom. So you got to know the King. You got to serve the King. So ask yourself the question, not only do you know the King, but how are you serving the King? And then the last one, you've got to know the King, you've got to serve the King, and you have to trust the King. I just realized that I'm standing here talking about the King. Today is Elvis's birthday. I just realized, it just popped in my head. Different King. The reason I know that is because it's Malcolm's birthday today, and he's like, hey, it's Elvis's birthday too. I'm like, oh. See, y'all like, I don't really think you have ADD. Dude, I'm telling you. You have to trust the King. Whatever thing you're worried about, that's where you don't trust. That was mean, Dave. But it's true. Whether your worry is financial or relational or emotional or physical or spiritual, whatever worry of tomorrow that is dominating your thought, that's the area where you need to learn to trust God more. Because if you trust God, then the promise of God, which is, if you seek the kingdom first, I will provide everything you need. That's the promise of God, right? If you do that, you don't have to worry about tomorrow's worries. They don't have to dominate your thoughts today. So if you are stealing some worries from tomorrow, that is the exact area where God is going, right there. That's where you don't trust me enough. And can I share with you something else? After almost 30 years of doing this, I have found both in myself and those that I talk with, that usually the areas where we don't trust God is where other people have already betrayed us. And we transfer our feelings from our past, we talked about that last week, and how we've been treated or betrayed or wounded in the past, and we transfer them onto God, and we even say things like this: God, I love you, but I don't know I can trust you in this area. And I'm not saying that like, oh, that's us. But here's what's awesome. Jesus knows you. Do you remember that verse that says He knows everything you need? If you were right now to go, God, I need to tell you something. I don't trust you in this area. His response is not going to be, "What's wrong with you?" And his response, by the way, this is how some other people respond. They're like, "I know. I've been waiting for you to figure it out." His response, because he is our loving heavenly Father, is to wrap his arms around you and say, "I know. I know. But try. Trust me." Because the last thing a parent wants for their child is for them to live in a constant state of anxiety and worry and fear and overwhelming. Would you agree? And so our Father says, here's how we handle that. Leave the outcomes. Leave the results. Leave the winner and the losers in my hands. You just win today. And I'll take care of the rest. Father God, this is such a challenging, sometimes, just being honest, fearful thing that you've called us to do. So God, I pray in this moment that for every person who, quite frankly, their worry level has probably gone up because now they're worrying about their worry, I pray that you'd fill them with peace. You'd remind them that every step of the way of their life, you've been there. You've never left them fending by themselves. You've always been ready, and you're always going to be ready to step in. So God, as we move to this time of response, I pray for those people that are just, they can feel it within themselves, that tension. They know they need to trust you more. They know they need to serve you more. They know they need to know you more. But God, there's that tension of, if I let go, then I don't have control. And I can't control what it's going to end up with. And I can't control this. God, remind us that we weren't in control in the first place. And that all the things we're trying to control, they keep spinning out of control. But if we put it in your hands, if we seek you first and we follow your path and we listen and we watch the life of Jesus Christ, then you promise, and God, I pray that you would be faithful to your promise as you always have been. You promise to provide our every need. And God, I pray that each and every one of us here today, as we move into this and we begin to sing this song that reminds us of your goodness and your faithfulness and your pursuit of us, God, I pray that we would just humble ourselves before you and we would acknowledge that we keep allowing tomorrow's worries to dominate today's thoughts, and that God, today we just open our hands and we say, okay, God, I'm scared to death. I'm terrified of letting go. But I'm going to do everything I can to trust you and give me the strength to do it. And that God, in this place today, before this moment is over, that God, there would be some serious roadblocks and habits and problems and issues and relationships and all these different things that God, you would just break through. That you would just break through and give the freedom and give the victory there in the hearts and the lives of people here today. And Father, we pray this in the awesome and the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and respond.